Hey, look, if there was a day that you had a pen and a piece of paper and you wanted to write some things down, it would be right now in this chapel. I'm going to do something that really I haven't done all week. This is going to be really just kind of a practical session. And, you know, camp has a lot of different purposes to it. One is certainly to make our hearts right with the Lord. I like the theme out on the front gate sign here at Kobiak, getting campers on the right track. I think that's great, and that's certainly part of it. I think that there's a sense in which we want to call you to a life of surrender and consideration of God's will. I think we'll make sure that, so there's kind of that double fold. Make sure your heart's ready to serve the Lord because now you're in a right relationship with Him. And then also make sure that you're open to the will of God for whatever your future might be. I think one of the things that I have tried to do at camp is, in addition to that, is try to offer you something that you would be able to take back with you and implement right in that would help you build your life between the high moments. You know, sometimes our Christian life is like a series of highlights, but in between, there's not much to speak of. What I mean by that is we'll come to camp and get a real spiritual surge, and then maybe we go into a kind of a slump, as it were, till the next big event, you know, a youth conference. And then you know, we kind of get hyped up there, and then we slump down again till the big youth rally. And then we kind of get fired up, and then we slump again. And I want you to understand that there are always high moments in the Christian life. There's no question about it. And camp would be one of those kinds of highlights if you let it be. However, the Christian life should be more like a steady climb forward than it should be like a roller coaster ride. And what I'm saying to you is that in between these big moments is the day-to-day, regular, what I would call walk with God. And I want to help you this morning understand just for a few minutes how you can develop a walk with God. And I want you to see a verse that's very familiar to most of you in Psalm 119, and I believe it unlocks a key to what it means to have a meaningful walk with God. In verse number 10, Psalm 119 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Notice that again. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." And I believe this is the missing key to a young person having an effective walk with God. It's not so much that I do devotions as it is that I walk with God. Now, most of you, if you've been around a youth group for any length of time whatsoever, you have probably heard somebody say, you should have devotions, or you should have time with God. You should read your Bible. You should have prayer time. Most of you are familiar with that. Most of you have attempted that. Some of you attempt that very regularly, okay? Here's what I want to say to you. The Christian life is a walk with God, and it is based upon two things. Your walk with God is based upon your relationship with Christ. Notice, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." It's not about reading your Bible as much as it is about knowing God. It's not as much about going through a prayer list as it is talking to God. Now, the young person, here's what I want to say to you. That every day of your life, you ought to have a relationship developing time, a communion, as the Bible calls it, abiding, as the Bible calls it, fellowship, as the Bible calls it, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the bottom line. You need Him. You need to know Him. You need to walk with Him. And your relationship with Christ is based on two things, okay? It is based on His Word and your time with Him in prayer. So let me give you the statements, and then I want to develop this morning. God speaks to you through His Word. That's how it happens. God talks to you as you read His Word. It's His Word. It's as if God was sitting down right beside of you and speaking right into your ear as you open up the Bible and listen to what the Bible says. So God speaks to me through His Word. Number two, I speak to God through prayer, okay? And it's called a communication, it's called a walk, it's called fellowship. I know that most young people struggle having a meaningful, consistent relationship with God. Now, I am going to teach you a lesson this morning, and I don't get thrown off by the theme of the message or the lesson, because I really want you to get this. I want you to focus on this. I want to teach you for the next few minutes how you can have a solid and productive 15 or 20 minute time with God every single day. You say, "Well, wait a second, brother, I already pray for 4 hours a day." Okay, that's great. And if you do, please see me after the service because I've got some requests that I would like to share with you. You know, we might as well call you like John Wesley or something. You know, that's fine. And by the way, I'm not knocking at that. There are some people that do have a meaningful, solid, lengthy relationship with God. I'm not knocking that at all. Here's what I'm saying. There are many of you in this room, you don't have one, period. You just don't. You don't know what it means to have a consistent time where you sit down with the Bible and actually get something out of it, and actually it turns into talking to God in prayer. That's the key. So if I can help you get started, and that's all this is, it's like sitting down on a starting block of a race, listening for the gun to go off. I'm just trying to help you get started. And so don't be a Pharisee on me this morning and go, oh my goodness, does he really think that you can really walk with God 20 minutes a day? Well, I would say this, 20 minutes a day is better than your 0 minutes a day. Somebody could have said amen right there. I think that was a pretty fair thing to say. And you can be, look, you can be Pharisaical about it if you want to, but for many of you, your relationship with God is just not consistent or it's not existent. And young person, I want to tell you, I believe every teenager in this room can leave camp this week. I believe you can go home, I believe you can set a plan in motion, and I believe that every day you can meet with God, and from your meeting with God, it can produce communication with God all throughout the day. And listen, young person, I want to tell you, you need to have that in your Christian life. In fact, if you don't have that, you don't really have a Christian life. I'm not saying that you're not saved, but young person, this Christian life is about walking and talking and learning from Jesus Christ. It is not about checking something off of a list or doing Christian duty. It is about every single day getting to know God, God getting to know your heart as you speak to Him in prayer, and that relationship is something that needs to be happening to strengthen you, to give you joy, to give you peace, to give you direction, to give you comfort. There's lots of things we could say, but at the end of the day, it is your time, as the Bible says, to get into the secret place with God and meet with God. And by the way, if you don't think what I just said is a great privilege, then you probably don't know God real well. But every one of us should long for a time with God every single day. So I want to give you a few thoughts here on how to read your Bible, and I want to give you a few thoughts on here on how to pray. And I believe if you blend these together, I believe you can have a good 15, 20, 25 minute time with God every single day. Okay, so let's start by this. How should I read my Bible? Okay, how should I read my Bible in order to make sure that I get something out of the Bible when I'm reading it? Okay, let me give you 5 words here that start with the letter R. Okay, 5 words that start with the letter R. Number one, you need to make sure that you are ready. You need to make sure that you are prepared to spend time with God. And let me tell you the best way to prepare to spend time with God. Number one, have a place. Number two, have a plan. Okay, every single person in this room, there ought to be a place in your life and a set aside time where you go to, and that is your designated spot or place to meet with the Lord. In the Bible, it was referred to as a closet, and I don't believe it has to be a closet, but it can be a place. Maybe it's on your front porch. Maybe it's taking a walk around your neighborhood. Maybe it's at a desk in your bedroom. Maybe it's at your favorite seat in your living room. I don't know, and it really doesn't matter, but here's the bottom line. You ought to have a time every day where you say, at this time of day, I'm going to this spot with my Bible in my hand, and I'm going to go spend some time with God, okay? And then you ought to have a plan. The worst thing that you could ever do to try to develop a meaningful relationship with God is just wake up in the morning and go, man, I don't know where I'm going to read today. I'm not sure. So let me give you a suggestion, okay? I'm not saying you should do this, and I'm not saying this is a long-term solution, but it's something you could jump on immediately and take with you immediately and do it. I have met many Christians, many even mature Christians, that do these two things, and it really is helpful to them. Number one, they read a proverb every single day, okay? The proverb like of the day. So today would be, I believe, July the 22nd, is that correct? And so that must mean that today I would read Proverbs chapter 22. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs corresponding with a number of the months, and it's a very, very good way to do it. I mean, you wake up, look at your watch, and say, okay, today's the 21st, I'm reading Proverbs chapter 21. Very, very good thing to do. Secondly, I would encourage you to spend some time reading the Psalms. If you read 5 Psalms a day, you will read through the entire book of Psalms in 1 month. So in 1 month, you could read the entire book of Psalms and the entire book of Proverbs. And I'm telling you, the reason that is so important is, number one, it is very practical. Number two, it is very personal. And so Proverbs and Psalms are very personal and they're very practical. In other words, young person, you can go read the genealogies if you want to, but you're going to have trouble pronouncing names, okay? Or you can go to something to get you started that is very practical and personal. Well, you'll have something immediately that you can take away. Man, if you can't read Proverbs chapter 21 and get a blessing out of it and get something to take from your life, man, you're not paying attention, okay? So be ready. Know what you're doing. Number two, be not only ready, but number two, the second R word would be read. Read. Man, I know that sounds elementary, but the bottom line is this. At some point, you have got to have your eyes hit the words of the Bible. I mean, you got to sit down and actually do this. Now, I got to tell you, young person, this will not come naturally. This will not come easily. This is going to require you to set the time aside. I believe that you ought to say, well, I'm going to wake up early. I do it in the morning because I believe it's when my mind is the freshest and I want to get my day started with God. I'm not saying you can't do it another time, but I do think there's something to say about getting up in the morning and saying to God, this day is yours. I want to start this day with you, okay? And so it may mean that you need to set your alarm 20 minutes earlier. I know that's incredibly difficult, but you know what? How bad do you want to spend time with God? That's the question, okay? Then you read. I recommend reading on whatever thing is best for you. I think some people like to read it on the printed page. That's great. Some people like to read it on their iPad or their iPhone. If you do electronics, which is fine, and please don't anybody get weird on this. Look, the Bible is the Bible, whether it's on a page or whether it's on a screen. It's still. Can somebody please help me up here? It doesn't matter where it is. But let me tell you this. If you use an iPad, which I do every morning, I read the Bible on my iPad this morning. If you use an iPad or a phone, let me tell you what to do. Turn it to do not disturb or to airplane mode or whatever. And I'll tell you why. You know, it is so easy to get distracted on your devices, isn't it? So you posted a selfie of you and your Cheerios this morning on Facebook. And Jenny liked it. And all of a sudden you're reading Psalm 120. You're like, man, this is good, man. God's in control. I'm learning some things about God. And all of a sudden you get a you get a notification. Jenny liked your Cheerio bowl picture. Wow, way to go. And all of a sudden you flip over there like, oh, she liked it? Oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden you're like scrolling into her business. And before you know it, 15 minutes later, you have looked at Jenny, you have looked at Sally, you've looked at John, you've looked at what they ate for breakfast, and you done forgot about Psalm 120, okay? Hey, listen, I know this is going to shock you. This is probably going to blow you away. But did you know you can live without Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat for 15 or 20 minutes? Did you know that? Look, I'm just going to tell you something, guys. This blows me away. Look, listen to me. Your social media life is not as important as you think it is. You're like, dude, what if I miss an important phone call? Dude, I'm going to promise you, if you're 16, you ain't getting an important phone call. You're like, man, look. Man, my girl might say something. She might send me a message over Twitter. Man, I got to know when that happens. Look, man, no, you don't. And if you got a girl that can't live with the fact that you don't respond in 5 seconds, trust me, you got the wrong girl. And if you got a guy that can't put his phone down, you probably got the wrong guy. Look, guys, listen. You're going to survive. You can survive without social media for 20 minutes, but you can't survive without God. So you need to read. And then number three, you need to reflect. You need to reflect. I do not allow myself to read the Bible in the morning until I have taken away at least one scripture, one principle, one thing to apply to my life, or one thing that I've learned about God. So what do you do if you get to the end of the chapter and you sit there and you go, huh? What do you do? Somebody tell me, what do you do? You go back and read it again. That's exactly right. It's not about quantity. It is about quality. It's not about how much Bible you read. It's about how much Bible reads you. The point of the matter is this. It's not about saying, man, I read 17,000 chapters in one afternoon. It's not about that. Here's what it's about. What did I learn about God? So as you reflect on the Bible, let me give you two questions to ask that will help you draw principles. Number one, what does this passage teach me about God? Young person, let me encourage you. If you don't have meaningful devotions, start tomorrow with Psalm 18. Just go grab Psalm 18. You don't need to read anything else. And all I would encourage you to do is write down in a journal, I'll talk about it in just a minute, everything Psalm 18 says about God, and just think about it for a while. That's a good place to start. Number one, what does it tell me about God? Number two, what does it tell me about myself? I ought to be looking at the Bible and saying, God, what are you speaking to me about today? What is something that I need in my life today? And I promise you that you, if you think about it, if you purposefully reflect on it, God will give you something from His Word. Number four, then you respond to it. You respond to it. You respond to it by prayer. And I'm going to talk about prayer in depth in just a moment. But what I mean is this, when God speaks to you, you speak back to Him. Hey, listen, prayer that is built on the Word of God is the prayer that most pleases God. Prayer that is built on you directly responding by faith, by repentance, by commitment to something that God gave you is the kind of faith that God is pleased with. Young person, listen, if you're reading the Bible and the Bible speaks about being kind one to another and you just got through like ripping your brother's face off, okay, and God speaks to your heart and you write down in your journal, Lord, I have not been kind and I need the Holy Spirit's presence to make me kind and I'm actually going to go apologize to the person that I've not been kind to, you just met with God. Because God showed you in His Word something you need to do. What did you do? You responded to it. Young person, listen to me. This is not about checking something off of your to-do list. This is not about reading through a bunch of Bibles so you can go, yep, read that one, read that one, read that one, read that one. Okay, yeah, I'm a good Christian. But it's about this. What did God speak to me about, and what did I do with it when He spoke to me? Finally, number five, the fifth R is record. Now, I forgot to bring it with me. But I have a journal, and I was talking to somebody the other day about the teaching in the church on the spiritual disciplines, and the fact of the matter is journaling, or I guess some people call it a diary, I call it a journal because I think diary is a girl word, but anyways, journal is simply a record of what God is doing, and I don't just have a general journal like, man, today I felt really weird, but then I ate a chicken nugget and I felt better. You know, I don't do... Look, man, if that's you, you are like psychotic, okay? But the point is, I don't write stuff like that. I write about what the Lord did. I write about conversations that I had. I write out verses that God. I wrote about four verses out of my journal this morning, things that were from the Word of God that God was speaking to my heart about. Young person, it's good to write out the blessings of God. And you know what I do? I go back and read them over and over again. I write out prayer requests. I write out prayers. I write out verses. I write out things that God spoke to my heart about. And young person, when you force yourself to write, you are forcing yourself to think. And when you force yourself to think, you are forcing yourself to meditate upon those things that God is speaking to your heart about. I believe every one of you ought to leave this place, get a journal, and when you wake up the next morning, when you get home from camp, you ought to write down the date on the top, and you ought to start writing down the things that God is speaking to your heart about, and you ought to keep that. And my friend, if you do that, I'm telling you, it's going to transform your Bible reading, okay? So, number one, that's how I would read the Bible. Number two, how do you pray? How do you pray? In fact, if you just did what I just gave you, I promise you, you've just filled up at a minimum 10 or 15 minutes of time. If you just did just what I just told you. And now if you go to prayer, read the Bible, then pray based upon what God spoke to you about, based upon your daily needs, I believe it's very easy to take 5 to 10, maybe 15 minutes to do this as well. Don't worry so much about the time as you do your meeting with God, okay? But now, for a young person to learn how to start praying, I want to give you four words that all start with the acrostic, that move across the acrostic pray, okay? I'm going to give them to you real quick, and then I'm going to tell you again how to implement these into a journal. Okay, pray, P-R-A-Y, okay? Number one, praise. You, every morning, you ought to spend time praising and thanking God. The Bible says in Psalm 100, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. This is why I read Psalms every day. You want to know why? Because in the Psalms, it tells me things that I can praise God for. And what do? I turn around and I enter them in my journal and I praise God for them. It's what God tells us to do. Young person, wake up every morning and thank God for your blessings and praise God for who He is in your life. And if you do that, the Bible says you will be in His presence. You enter His presence with praise. Number two, repent. Repent. There should be time every day when the Lord speaks to your heart or as he speaks to your heart that you confess things in your life that are not pleasing to him. The old preachers used to say it like this: keep short sin accounts with God. In other words, if something's in your life that isn't pleasing to the Lord, just take care of it right then and there and then move forward. Hey, listen, God knows your sin. Most of us know our sin. God is not shocked by it. God wants us to confess it to him and forsake it so that he can bless our lives again. And my friend, listen, if you're not having regular, meaningful repentance before God, your relationship with God is not staying intact, okay? Letter A is ask. Ask. You know what? Every single person in this room, you have things in your life that you need God to do. Everybody. So I would recommend to you to have a prayer list. Again, this is all in my prayer journal. I have a daily list. I have things that I pray for every day, primarily including my family and the ministries that I'm involved in. I have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday pages in my journal. And on those pages are names of people. On Fridays, I have special requests. In other words, if people come up to me and share requests with me, I try to record those things in my journal to pray for them. I don't want to be the guy that looks at somebody and goes, "Yeah, man, I'm praying for you." That I never do, okay? Look, man, don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them and don't pray for them. Many times, I would just stop and pray for them right there. But if it's a long-term request, if it's a request of something that's coming later, like a pastor might say, "Man, pray for us. We're having a big day, you know, in 3 weeks on a Sunday." I'm going to go write that down in the journal, okay? And then on Fridays, I'm going to pray for that until it comes. And then guess what? When God answers the prayer and God gives them a blessed big day and God sees souls saved, guess what I get to do? I get to write down the answered prayer in my journal. And guess what? I get a blessing out of that. Isn't that cool? It's amazing. You need to write down names of your family members. You need to write down names of your lost friends. You need to write down names of missionaries that come by your church. You need to write down certainly your pastor, your youth pastor. Pray for people. Write it down. Ask God to help them. Ask God to bless their lives and so on and so forth. Then why? Why is yield. Y-I-E-L-D. Yield. Yield. Yield your heart to the Lord. Give it to God. Every day I think we ought to come to the Lord and surrender and dedicate our day, our life, our talents, our heart to God every day and say, "Lord, this day is yours. My hands are yours. My feet are yours. My heart is yours. My eyes are yours. My ears are yours. My mouth is yours. Take control. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me live this day in such a way that honors you." Okay? Now, young person, every day of my life in a journal, I write down in prayer things that I'm thankful for. I write down prayer requests that were shared with me. I write down blessings from the day before. I write down personal requests that I have for that day. Every day this week, I've written down things that are on my heart for this weekend when I go to Jacksonville, Florida to preach. Just things that God's putting on my heart, things that I wrote down. Every day of my life, I write down a prayer for that day. You say, "Isn't that formalistic?" No, it's not formalistic. It's trying to get my heart to make sure I'm actually doing something when I sit down and read the Word of God. A young person, I'm telling you right now that if you would take what I just gave you, and you would implement even a fourth of it into your Christian life, it will transform the way that some of you do devotions, okay? And young person, I'm telling you right now, your life has got to be daily meeting with God, receiving truth from God, and then committing to God every single day. Because listen, you're not at camp every day. You're not separated from your television, from your internet, from all your influences every day, and you're not hearing preaching 17 times a day like you do at camp. Nah, man, it's just you and God out there. And for some of you, it's even stronger because you don't have family support. You don't have family that goes to church, and you don't go to church every day like you do camp every day. You've got to have daily time with God, or your Christian life's not going to survive, okay? You've got to walk with God. Look, when you don't eat food in a day, your body is physically famished and weak and struggling. How many of you, when you don't eat, you get irritated? Can I get a witness in the house? Man, look, man, don't bother me if I haven't eaten or sleeping, right? Sleeping. That was not a word. Okay, slept, all right? So the same thing's true in your spiritual life. Some of you, the reason that your spirit starts going down, the reason that your Christian life starts declining, the reason why you do not have a spiritual presence and attitude is simply this: you're not eating well spiritually. You got to do it daily, and you got to do it right, and you got to do it on purpose. And for those of you in this room that have struggled from time to time, some of you have been Christians for a long time, and you've tried, and you've done everything that you can, but you've just been inconsistent, and it's not worked out well for you. If you would take what I just gave you, I promise there'll be some fruit that'll be born out in your heart to that end. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed to the activities of the day. Lord.